the proof. I want to think a little bit about the word proof. When I thought of it, I put down my own understanding of the word, which is the proof of something is a way of showing the truth of it. To prove something is to be able to substantiate the reality or truthfulness of something beyond a shadow of a doubt. Then I went online and it said the cognitive of evidence that compels acceptance by the mind of a truth or a fact, the process or an instant of establishing the validity of a statement, especially by derivation from other statements in accordance with principles of reasoning. And then also something that induces certainty and establishes validity. So and then I also thought of it as a fact or a piece of information that shows that something exists or is true. When we prove something, we want to make sure that it's a certain level of truth about it. And we think about there are many times we might have to prove something. I was thinking about when a husband or a wife say that they love their spouse, there needs to be some proof about it, right? Sometimes I have my grands, they'll come and they'll say, "Grandma, I love you," or they'll hug me and everything. And I appreciate it. But you know, I want them to prove it by being obedient and by showing respect. And when we say that we love God or we're living for God, we want to prove that by our actions. Not just what we say, but the truth of what is actually in our hearts. And what is in our hearts is going to come out. You know, sometimes a person said, might claim to be one way or another, but what we look at the reality of what they're showing on the outside. I realize that God says man looks on the outside, but God looks in the heart. But yet, as we read the scriptures, we realize that what's in your heart comes out and it shows and it is manifest. So we want to look at some scriptures that will help us maybe kind of understand a little bit about proof. You know, the Lord wants us to prove is part of the word prove. He wants us to prove our love to him. Jesus proved his love to us by dying on the cross. He didn't just say, "I love your creation," or "I love you," but he gave his ultimate to show his love. And I believe we need to show what's in our heart for God. Not just say it, but show it. Let's go to 2 John 1:6. As I was meditating on these thoughts and the Lord been dealing with me about it, and it seemed like he gave me lots of thoughts, but he helped to solidify the thoughts in some of the scriptures because I began to realize what he was trying to tell me is to prove. To have what he wants is proof of what we really say we are or what we mean to him. When we go to him and I say, "Lord, I love you," then where's the proof? what am I doing to show that I really love him? Or I'll say, I honor you. I adore you. I respect you. How am I proving that? What's the proof of these words that I say? So I began to understand better what the Lord was trying to get over to us. 2 John 1:6.
And this is love, that we walk after the commandment, after his commandments. That is the commandment that ye have heard from the beginning. You should walk in it.
This is love. If we say the Lord, Lord, I love you, we're going to proof of the fact that I love him is walking after his commandments, doing what he tells us to do. Let's go to Judges 3 and read verses 1 through 4. We go back while you are looking for that scripture. I want us to go back and think about the husband and the wife. He might say that I love you to his wife, or she might say, I love you to him. But what happens is, if that love is real, you're going to see some proof of it. You're going to see it in kind words or acts of kindness. Also, giving attention. You know, if you say you love somebody and you don't even hardly communicate with them, or I remember Brother Ivan. I was listening to one of the messages. Well, anyway, whoever it was, it seemed that they said, other words, it wouldn't do their relationship very good if he never communicated with his wife, never talked to her, never had much to say. But if we really love someone, we're going to communicate with them. And the same with the Lord, same with the spiritual life. There's going to be some proof of what's really in our heart. Did anyone get Judges?
Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many as Israel as have not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at least such as before knew nothing thereof, namely, 5 lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sodomites, Sidonians, and the Hivites that dwell in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal-Hermon unto Enam-En of Anab, and they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses.
You see what happened is the Lord allowed Israel to have these people around them, and it was in an effort to really prove what was in their heart. Sometimes the Lord allows things in our lives to prove us, to prove if we're going to serve him. Sometimes he'll let things maybe not so pleasant be around us so that we can prove that we are what we say we are and that we really mean business with him. You know, we don't want to just kind of half-heartedly serve God, but we want to put our whole heart in it. And he gives us things to happen to prove us, to prove really if we're serious about him. And if we're serious, it's going to come out. It's going to come out in the things we do. So we want to make sure that we can prove to the Lord. I remember, and I told you all about that, that time when my mother told me not to jump rope, and I went and did it. Then after I got hurt, she said, obedience is greater than sacrifice. That meant to me, you say to me, you love me. And I did. I was always a mother's child. So I was probably saying it and all this. You say that, but then you didn't obey me. So if you want to prove your love to me, you obey me. The same thing with the Lord. If we really want him and to prove ourselves to him, let's do what he says, because our obedience to the commandments proves that we're serious when it comes to God and the things of God. Let's go now to 1 John 2 and 6. I want to be faithful to God. I want to prove that what I say, I feel in my heart that I mean it. And so, but it takes something. You can't just say it and just go on and do your own thing. We have to say it and mean it and show the proof of it by the way we respond to God and do what he says do. If I say I'm a child of God and I go and I do all the things that the devil wants me to do, that's no proof that I'm a child of God, right? But if I'm a child of God, you're going to see some fruit from what I'm doing. You're going to see a change in you. You're going to see me acting like a child of God. You know, sometimes we have family traits and we'll say, that's a Hartman trait. That came from such and such. You know that. Or that's a Clay trait. That came from, yep, you got it straight from your granddad and that kind of stuff. We say that, but it proves out what's in there in our genes by the things we do, maybe the things we like, our dislikes and all that. Did anybody get 1 John 2 and 6?
1 John 2 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked.
So what's the proof? What's the proof? You say you abide in him. What's the proof that you abide in him? Walking as he walked. Walking as the Lord did. James 1 and 27.
Pure religion and undefiled before God and the fathers is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
Okay, you say you're religious? Then this is the proof that you're religious. It says, read that again.
True religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
So if I am a religious person and I'm just all into the world, that's not going to prove it, that I have pure religion, right? So it takes not only doing things like visiting the widows and the fatherless, those are good things, and a lot of people do that. But then there's another part to that, too, to keep yourself unspotted from the world. You cannot take on the world and do all the worldly things and be religious in the sight of God. We're talking about pure religion. It's not, you know, a lot of people claim religion. But pure religion is going to have some outward proof. Now, let's go to 1 John 5 and 3. Because we want to know this, that we must obey the commandments. And the commandments are not grievous. Sometimes people say, well, that's too hard. No, it's not. It's not grievous. The Lord doesn't give us grievous things. He wants us, He wants us to follow in his footsteps. He wants us to live to please him. And obeying the scriptures is what's going to take.
5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous.
Yes. So if we say we love God, then all we need to do is keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. Don't let the enemy say, oh, you can't live like that. He is a liar. You can live like that. We can live like that. We can obey his commandments. All we have to do is submit to his will. And we can do that. 2 Corinthians 8, and we're going to read verses 7 and 8.
Second Corinthians 8:7-8. Mm-hmm. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love of the love to us, see that ye abound in his grace also. I speak not my commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love.
You see, you want to prove that you are sincere and that you love God and you want to follow his commandment. So this is what we want to do. There's another scripture that we want to read in a little bit, but it shows how that you, it's not that you are saved by works. Some people feel like you, okay, if I do this and do that, I'm saved by works. But they go together. How I am, if I get if I'm saved and I'm living for God, I'm going to have some good works. So they work together. Even you can't, it's works alone won't do it, but you have to have Jesus in your heart, and that produces works. That's why when the man and the woman are married, the love they have in their heart for one another is what make them show kindness and tolerance and all of these things. They show it. You know, I mean, it's one thing to say you love somebody, but it's more important to show how much you love them. And you know, that lady, that woman, she loved the husband. It seemed like it's so many things she wanted to do to please him. You know, maybe just fixing him his favorite meal. Or maybe when he's tired, put his little house shoes down by his recliner so he could be comfortable. Or going and getting him a glass of lemonade or something. It's just like it's you have it in your heart, so you just be thinking about little things you can do to show your love. That's proof. The man can say, he can go out and talk to his friends and everything, and they might be complaining about their companion, and he can say, well, I know my lady really loves me because of all the ways she has shown him. He has beyond a shadow of doubt, no doubt that she loves him. And the same way it is with the Lord. If we love him, it's going to produce action. It's going to help us to, we just think of things, ways we want to pray. Because we love God, we want to communicate with him. We want to read the Bible because we love God. And we just can't hardly, sometimes the food in the Word is so rich and so good to me, I might be up in the night, everybody gone to sleep, and I'm feeding on the Word of God. And sometimes, or most of the time, I'll have devotion with the girls and they going to sleep. I put on a message and I'm in there just enjoying the message because I love him, but it produces action. If I just don't hardly want to read the Bible, don't want to hardly pray, God could look at that and say, well, I'm not so sure that that person loved me. And if I don't want to do what he tell me, for sure I don't love him. It takes obedience. It takes doing his commandments to show and to prove our love to him. God wants us to prove our love to him. He proved his to us by sending his only begotten son, that he might die and be that sacrifice. We talked about that with the children in Vacation Bible School this past week. The sacrifice that Jesus made that for them, for you and I, God did that. He made that plan. Actually, he made it before the world began. He knew what was going to happen. He knew. And he was willing. He wanted mankind. He had someone that he could communicate with and put his love on, and he wants that love back. And he knew they were going to fall. So he made a plan to give his only begotten son. He proved his love. Jesus proved his love by being willing to give his life. You know, he could have said in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, I don't want to do this. He didn't do that. He wanted to please the Father, and he wanted to allow himself to be that sacrifice, but it was hard. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. If it's any way I can get out of this, in other words, help me. This is hard. He knew what he was going to face. But yet he said, not my will, but thy will be done. So he proved his love. If you ask what's the proof that Jesus loved us, the proof is in him giving his life. You can't make any greater sacrifice to anyone than to give your life. That is the ultimate sacrifice you can do. And Jesus did it. And he did it for people that were not nice. He did it for people that were not kind. He did it for people that didn't even respect him. But he did, and he proved his love. And we want to prove ours as well. Now let's go to 1 John 3:24.
1 John 3:24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us.
See? This is the proof. This is the proof. We could keep his commandment. That's the proof that we love him. It says, and hereby we know that we love him if we do these things. We're proving to God how much we love him. Now, we want to think about what it is comes out of a person in Matthew 7, verses 15-21, the real fruit that we have inside is going to come out. In this scripture, the Lord was talking about the tree. Jesus was.
Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them.
You see that? By your fruit. So the fruit is the proof of what. If I look the other week, we were looking at this tree back here, and I didn't know what kind of tree it was, but I saw all these little white things all over the ground, and Sarah said it's a cottonwood tree, right?
That's what it is.
But I didn't know. I didn't know what kind of tree it was. But you knew, Brother Larry knew, by the fruit. Of course, he also probably knew the leaves and all that. But what came from that tree proved what kind of tree it was. And so that's the same as whatever. If you see something come out, a person say, well, last week we talked about people that say, I know the man, I think. And you see them cursing and being very mean and treating people mean. What's the fruit? What's the proof? They don't know. That's the proof that they don't know him. If you know God, you're going to have some good fruit coming out of your lives, you and me. So the proof of what kind of tree we are, what we really are, is how we live and what people see coming out of us. Now, I want to go on more. 1 John, I think we read verse 1 and 6, but we want to read 5, 6, and 7. We're going to read them together because obedience. The proof that we are in God, sometimes we want to prove, we need to prove who we are. Not be disguised. He said in that scripture that we just read, beware of false prophets. There are some people that can put on a good outward show. But do you know something? That lasts for a little while. But something in that person is going to show. They can put on an outward show of holiness and everything. But if you stay around them long enough, you're going to see some fruit that's not proven that they are what they say they are. So let's go to 1 John 1:5-7.
This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
See, if we say we are in him, but in Jesus and in God, there is no darkness. But if we say it with our mouth that we know him and we're in him, but then we show the fruits of darkness, we lie. Lying to ourselves first, if we believe we can get by with that, and to others as well. So we don't want to do that. There is no fellowship with light and darkness. We're either in the light and walking in the light, or we're in darkness. We cannot be both. We can't say, I'm in the Lord, and do dark things. It's not working that way. Life, there's no fellowship with light and darkness. Now let's go to James 2. And 14 to 22. I believe this will help us understand how important it is for us to prove that we're doing the right thing, that we're on the right road, that we're following God, not just saying we're following him, but show it by our deeds.
Okay, 14 to 22. What doth this profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, which doth it, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou now faith?
How?
By his works, and by the works was faith made perfect.
So you see, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac on the altar, his son on the altar? In other words, he was a man of faith. He could have said, I have faith. But then when it came to offering Isaac, he didn't do it. He would not have been the father of faith. But he knew, and he was willing to put works with his faith. I trust God. This is how it happened. God had told him that in Isaac shall his seed be, and in Isaac shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He believed God that Isaac was going to continue on. And then the Lord told him, tested him, to prove him. This is the proof of his faith, because he did what the Lord told him. But so he felt that if he took Isaac's life, this is the way I understand it, that God would give it back, because before he went up to that mountain and before he went to offer him, he told those servants that was with him, stay here. The lad and I will go yonder and worship and come back. He believed that. He believed God so much that if he took his life, he felt God would give him his life back, and he and his son would walk back down that mountain, back to those people. That's his faith. But he put it in action. So he was justified not just by the faith, but by his action. They worked together. We can't, in that scripture it says, show me your work by, and say without, I mean your faith without your works. You say you have faith, and I have works, faith and works. But this person is saying they have faith, but there is no works. And he said, I'll show you my faith by my works. And so we can show our faith in God by our works. It's going to take some works with it. We're going to have to manifest what's in our heart. We can't just say, I know the man. We're going to have to show it and prove it by our works. And so Abraham became the father of faith because he not only had faith, but he had works. It says, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, And by works was faith made perfect. We can show our faith by our works. And our faith will be made perfect if we do what we say we really mean. And it's in our heart. And so we want to be encouraged. I want us to read one more. I have more, but I want to read Luke 10 and 30. I want us to see how that sometimes, I love for God doesn't just go, I love God. It's going to extend to other people, and we need to be able to, you know, you can walk around and say, I'm holy and I'm all of this, but if I don't have that love that I say I have for God and I don't have it for other people, it's not real. We're not proving our love. It goes together. And so we want to read the Good Samaritan to see how there's some religious people. They might feel that they're religious, but they're not showing by their works what's really true in their heart.
And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these thinkest thou was neighbor unto that fell among thieves?
Read 37.
And he said, he that showed mercy on him, then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise.
Okay, now which one proved to be the neighbor? The Samaritan. But look at who passed out, saw him first. The priest. That's a religious person. But he didn't have what he should have had, or he would have had compassion on this man. And then the next one was a Levite. Both of those are religious people. We can have religion. We can say we have religion, but we need to prove by our action that we really have it. And this Samaritan was the neighbor to the man. I would think that he had more religion than those that said they had religion, because he cared about the man that fell among thieves. He didn't just pick him up. He poured in oil and wine on his wounds. He took him to, put him on his own animal and took him to an inn, told the man to take care of him, gave him some money to take care of him, then said, whatever I owe you more, when I come back, I'll give it to you. That is the man that had the proof. And we want to have proof of what we really believe and what we say we are. We must have proof of it by the way we act. Pray for me.